Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The following is a reflection on two basins. As we read the account of the last 24 hours that led up to the death of Jesus, there are two basins that are mentioned, one that's used by Pilate and one that's used by Jesus. One bowl was used by Jesus on the night before his death, as I said earlier on, to wash the feet of his disciples. And one was used by Pontius Pilate as a way of absolving himself of any responsibility for the death of Jesus. Two basins of water, very ordinary things. Which is the one that we will admire? Which is the one that will drive us to examine more closely the state of our heart and the way that our heart is healed and restored? In Matthew 27, from verse 24, we read this. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Then the people as a whole answered, his blood on us and our children. So Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after flogging Jesus, handed him over to be crucified. This first basin stands for the one used by Pontius Pilate to show that even though he disagreed with those who accused Jesus, he wasn't going to risk his own position by defying the crowd and to set Jesus free. In John's account of Pilate's actions, the accusers of Jesus told him that he would be no friend of Caesar if he set Jesus free. A frightening thought to one whose position depended upon the favour of the Roman emperor. And so he washes his hands of the whole matter. He refuses to take the risk of going against the crowd, and his hand washing is a way of stating that the responsibility no longer belongs to him. We have many accounts to say something of the character of Pilate. In our Bible studies during Lent, we reflected a little bit upon this. And as these different accounts say, that Pilate was ruthless, Pilate was cruel, he held in contempt Jewish customs. To this point, he had already done several things to really go against the Jewish people. It is these leaders that are now pressuring him to not release Jesus and are saying that he is no friend of the emperor if Jesus is released. He had been responsible for a number of massacres that had taken place. He was a cruel man. He washes his hands of this whole thing. Now, this is no Lady Macbeth moment of guilt, despair, and torment. In Shakespeare's Macbeth, Shakespeare has Lady Macbeth full of turmoil, guilt, towards the end of the play. As she washes her hands in this dreamlike state, as she wanders around and she cries out, "Out, damned spot, out. Will these hands never be clean?" she cries out. "All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand," as she tries to wash off what she sees as the blood on her hands for the death of Duncan and his guards. Pilate, we get no sense of that guilt that Lady Macbeth has. We read between the lines in Matthew 27 and find Pilate not showing signs of guilt and torment, rather fear that drives him to absolve his responsibility in this case of an innocent man. And so this first basin of water speaks to all who refuse to become involved in the hurts, the suffering, the injustices of this world. Unlike the servant who takes the risk of being looked down upon, treated as being an inferior person, given no status and little reward, those who wash their hands seek to avoid all such risks as Pilate did. For here there is no love, for here there is no compassion, there is no understanding. In John chapter 13, which is at the beginning of these chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, are where there's this long discourse between Jesus and his disciples where he's teaching them and showing them who he is and what it is to follow him. Chapter 13 starts with Jesus saying, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. From verse 3 in chapter 13. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. This basin points to Jesus throughout the whole of his ministry. The servant who was prepared to play the role of the household slave. The one who was to wash the feet was not the host. It wasn't even the highest slave. The one who was to wash the feet was the lowest of the lowest slaves. That was their role. This is what Jesus does. He begins to wash their feet. Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the action of washing the disciples' feet, he gave them and he gives us an example to follow. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also do as I have done to you. But this was not simply an example for us to follow, for his disciples to follow. To take up our cross and follow Christ is to be willing to become a servant, not seeking status or power, not seeing ourselves as being in any way superior to other people, but being willing to serve in whatever way we can in the name of Christ, and finding our greatest joy in losing ourselves in that service. All of that and more is symbolized in this second basin, a sign of Jesus' humility and servanthood. This, as we've said over the last few weeks, is the kind of Messiah that Jesus will be. He goes against the expectations of all. Such willingness on the part of Jesus, the Son of God, goes far beyond anything that our human minds can grasp. And Paul attempts to express it in Philippians chapter 2, where he says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of humankind, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." As I said, it was not simply an example, but it was an obedience for Jesus that took him to a cross. His death was for us and because of us, and because of God's great and undeserved love and generosity, God did not leave us alone to suffer the consequences of our rebellion against God. God did something to save us, Jesus into the world as one of us. We do well to pause and to think of who was in the upper room. Who are the feet that Jesus washes? One of the verses in these first few, five or six verses of John 13, says that Jesus already knew that the devil had put it into Judas's heart to betray him. Jesus washes the feet of Judas. He washes the feet of his betrayer. And there's Peter, who protests about having his feet washed, but here's Peter, the denier, that you know me. Jesus washes the feet of his denier. And there's Thomas, who in 3 days' time will say, "I don't believe that Jesus is risen unless I see him." There's all the other followers who will scatter from Jesus. He doesn't pick up the bowl and start to walk to him, looks around and says, "Oh, hang on, no. I know what you're about to do." He actually washes their feet because he knows what they're about to do. This is unbelievable that Jesus does this. Good Friday is both a time of the deepest darkness and of the brightest light. It heralds the judgment of human evil, yet also heralds the freedom of humanity. Those like Pilate, who are too wrapped up in their pride to accept this new freedom, that burden remains. On the other hand, all who let go and trust in this holy cross, in this resurrection, in this Jesus, have freedom, have forgiveness, have new life, because Jesus has come and taken all that was heading for us and has given us freedom and forgiveness. Two things to finish with before a prayer. In this act, we see that Jesus wraps himself in humility. He takes off his outer garment and washes them, but as he does that, he wraps himself in humility. A month or so ago, I was talking with Karen Ross, who's the minister at Chapel Hill, and she talked about this, of Jesus wrapping himself in humility. And for us, the call to us is to unwrap our needs, our preferred needs, in the light of Christ's humility. To unwrap our preferences in the light of our service to God. Jesus wrapped himself in humility. And the second thought I want to leave with us is that our response, the very least, at the very least, Christian people, in their response to those who oppose them, remembering that Jesus who he washes the feet of, that at the very least that we are to be respectful and kind to those who oppose us. That's a big call. It's really hard at times. And I'm looking at the mirror as I say that. The bar for us, at least, is set at this height. For we live in a world where it is so easy to do the opposite. And we see that all the time. Society is so polarized. And as I said earlier in that reflection, it's so easy to do in the crowd or to do anonymously what you'd never do face to face. That's the society that we now live in. It is so easy just to do that. There are times when, as Christian people, at the very least, we're called, particularly in the public arena, to be respectful. Doesn't mean that we agree, not at the least, but it's the way that we conduct ourselves with the humbleness of the Jesus who washed his disciples' feet. And that's tough. Man. At the very least, we pray. Loving God, grant that we may never be so casual before your extraordinary love, your unconditional love, an unconditional love that nevertheless doesn't leave us where we are but calls us to something new. May we never be so casual that we ignore these things. Help us, O saving God, to be reachable and teachable, responsive to your saving grace. By your cross, deliver us from everything that would seek to enslave us, everything which would look to pull us down. And instead, please set our face solidly towards the light which comes not to condemn us, but to save us. Through this same Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.